This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Show Mufti Abdurrahman ibn Yusuf.
Assalamu alaykum, Mufti Saab.
Jazakallah khair. Dreams is a fascinating subject. It's something, of course, that affects.
I told you it's about what you eat at night.
That's what he thinks, but we'll come on to that.
It's a part of it.
It affects absolutely everybody. You're doing a 10-week course, right, teaching people. Is it about understanding dreams? Is it about dream interpretation? Tell us a bit more.
I think the main impetus behind the course is really to give an understanding of what the basic types of dreams are. Because what we've got is we've got people who are absolutely obsessed by their dreams and they want to read into every single dream.
People have a fascination.
Absolutely, but you get these questions and generally it could just be about something you've been thinking about. So some people, they totally disregard them. Some people, they become obsessed by them. And I think the truth is somewhere in the middle, because there's three types of dreams, as mentioned in the Quran itself. So you've got adghathu ahlam. That is just your thoughts of the day, any concerns you have, anxieties you have, so you'll actually see them at night.
I dream about him all night.
About the back of my head, because you're staring at it all the time.
What is that? I'm trying to touch it.
Right. Right. Then you've got ar-ru'ya. In Arabic, it's called ar-ru'ya. Ar-ru'ya min ar-Rahman. So ru'ya are the truthful dreams that come from the merciful one, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Are these the good ones now?
Those are the good ones. They won't terrify you.
And these dreams are truthful?
They are the ones that have the possibility of being
some
truth.
Some meaning behind them.
Absolutely. Mm. And then you've got al-hulumu min ash-shaytan. So those are the frightening ones. Mm. They're generally from the shaytan. And what we've
been
told...
That's also dreaming about him as well. So those are the three compartments. I mean, look.
Right.
Ibn Sirin, alhamdulillah, wrote a phenomenal book. Mm-hmm. What was his qualification? I mean, he seemed to be able to hit the nail on the head.
Yeah, he was quite amazing. I think there's two levels of this. One is you can get to a certain level of dream interpretation, but then just like in everything else, there's another level that is God-given. What we call, it's from Allah. And Ibn Sirin definitely had that. Yusuf alayhi salam had that. Mm. So some people would get it. The more taqwa you have and the more knowledge you have, you would obviously go further, right?
So on your course, are you, as I said, are you teaching people to interpret their dreams, to understand?
Not entirely, no. That I don't want that to be a misconception, because really what it is to understand the reality of where dreams come from, what are they, so you can be better equipped to understand whether you need to give any significance to your dream and maybe help your family members. For example, I mean, many people may not know this, but it mentions in a hadith that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that dreams are left suspended until you interpret them. Mm. Right? Now, that's a very kind of complicated statement.
Interesting.
In fact, in another one, it says that the dreams are suspended on the foot of a bird, and if you interpret it, it will drop. So be careful of the way you interpret it. Mm. Right? Mm. So based on that now, when you see a frightening dream, it says that you should just say, "A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim." I seek refuge in Allah from the shaitan. Turn around, spit on the side, just lightly, just to show kind of disregard for the shaitan, because it's generally shaitan trying to scare you, and turn around, go to sleep. Every time you tell somebody your dream, you're just solidifying it. Because at the end of the day, a dream is just an imagination.
Mm. I suppose that brings us actually to your work, Dr. Muhammad, because there must be some truth in that. If people are having reoccurring dreams, and then they're telling people, and they're constantly going over those dreams, it reinforces the dream, it reinforces the fear. Mm. And dreams are a big thing in post-traumatic stress, aren't they?
Yeah. There's some, one of the symptoms in PTSD, it's like a dream when it comes to the worst or bad dream, like nightmares. Mm. But in general, in psychology, we, as brother here mentioned about adghat ahlam, so it's about thought for the person. If you consider in your daily life about some things that you're thinking, so in psychology, they mention could be some things related to the past, some things happened to you and you are concerned about it or worried about it, or some things about your present life, or something you're thinking in the future. So these are three levels.
I mean, look, 10 weeks.
That's what I was thinking.
Once every Saturday, what is it?
Once every Saturday.
Quite in depth then.
That is,
Well, what we're going to do first is we're going to go through the dreams mentioned in the Quran. So just in Surah Yusuf, I mean, another name for that could be the Surah of Dreams, because it's got three dreams in there. Yusuf alayhi salam's own dream, which came to light only 40 years afterwards. So dream interpretation, you know, the reality of it only hit after 40 years. Then you've got when he saw those two people in prison,
dream with the banker,
exactly the one who's going to serve. And then the third is the king's dream himself, which then was a cause for him to come out. Then there's one or two other dreams indicated in the Quran.
That's a session in itself.
That's probably more than
now,
a session.
One of the things you touched on last night very briefly with Sheikh Muhammad al-Sharif was here. He was talking about istikhara and how to make decisions. Now that's also an interesting area with relation to dreams, because people sometimes feel, you know, the indication is from a dream.
Well, the thing about istikhara and dreams, I've looked through many of the hadith that speak about istikhara, and I haven't come across a hadith that speaks about you getting an answer in your dream. That is generally one way of, through experience, that you will get an answer. A lot of people will contact me and say, you know, I've been doing istikhara for this long and I haven't seen a dream yet. You don't need to see a dream. You know, we really need to clarify that you don't need to see a dream. You just, essentially where your mind goes with that, but you could see a dream.
What is the understanding, I've got a personal one for you here, what is the understanding of, because we know from
a dream
our,
you had,
No, it is. Listen, we know from our belief as Muslims that no one knows the future.
Right.
Only Allah knows the future. But sometimes people dream of things that come to pass. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I dreamt that one of my daughters would have blue eyes. Now, no one in my family has blue eyes. And a week before she was born, I dreamt she had blue eyes. And my daughter has blue eyes. This was just something that happened to me. It's never happened, you know, just one of those things. How do we understand dreams like that?
Well, nobody knows the future except Allah. So he's omniscient. He knows everything, even for the future. So it could be from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then you can't become obsessed by that fact and think every dream of yours is from Allah and it's telling you about something and then go and act upon
that. That becomes psychotic.
That is where it gets a bit difficult.
What about people seeing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in their dreams?
Well, that's the only thing where you can be confirmed of a reality, because Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself said, whoever sees me in his dream has really seen me, because shaitan cannot impersonate me. And the reason is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is 100% haqq. Truth, and the shaitan is 100% batil, and that is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hasn't allowed any kind of confusion to occur. So if you see Prophet Allah,
I'm interested in finding out what kind of people other than him are likely to come on your course, do you think? What kind of people are you going to attract?
Well, we've already got a number of people that are
he
on the course.
One of your teachers, given that one of his dreams came true, who knows? But what kind of people are you
going
to
bring in for an experience? We've got generally quite a wide range of people from around the world, actually. All the way from, I think, Fiji Islands to different countries around the world that have signed up for this course. And so I think it's just generally people who've probably had some interest. They've been thinking, they're imaginative, they've had issues with their dreams. They're curious.
I mean, are there many people who actually sit and interpret dreams? I mean, you know,
absolutely.
If we had another one, where would we go?
As you said, people are obsessed with it. Just coming to our guest, David, any of those dreams? I mean, don't want to share too much with us, but have you ever had those dreams that are either, you know...
He dreamt his car was going to be stolen one day, so he bought a second-hand banger.
No more dreams then,
No, but a dream that has impacted a decision that you've made or has had that enormous impact on you.
No, but I'd like to mention something else, which I witnessed, as it were. I heard some... ex-prisoners from Guantanamo speaking, and they were saying that their dreams gave them, while they were in solitary, while they were suffering that time, enormous strength, which was very interesting. Wow. They were talking about this at a public meeting.
That's amazing, isn't it? Well, look, we're going to a quick break now. We're going to come back and talk some more about dreams.
Story of the day, how do you keep your belongings safe? Do you dream about them in advance that something's going to happen and sort it out?
Actually, very strangely, as I was coming to the studio, I just heard, thief, catch him, he's on the bike.
And really?
Yes, this
I'm left my bike at home today.
there's a guy that rolled past on a bike, and poor guy, I think another guy whose phone he stole.
Oh.
So that guy's trying to chase him. But
and
then,
you know, we're actually covering that kind of story today. How do you protect yourself? And that's actually interesting, because the big phenomenon nowadays are people cycling by
and grabbing.
And grabbing, snatch and grab.
So how do you protect yourself? Let us know. How do you protect your personal cyber world? How do you protect your bicycle, your
property,
car, your home,
cars,
property, whatever?
The full works.
Let us know. We will be reading your messages just
Indeed.
After the break.
See you very shortly.
Living the life.